This is a Cloud Mountain production. Who Was to Blame? By Anton Chekhov. Translated by Constance Garnett. And now, Who Was to Blame? As my uncle Pyotr Demyanych, a lean, bilious collegiate counselor, exceedingly like a stale smoked fish with a stick through it, was getting ready to go to the high school where he taught Latin, he noticed that the corner of his grammar was nibbled by mice. "I say, Praskovya," he said, going into the kitchen and addressing the cook, "how is it that we have got mice here? Upon my word, yesterday my top hat was nibbled. Today they have disfigured my Latin grammar. At this rate, they will soon begin eating my clothes. What can I do?" "I did not bring him in," answered Praskovya. "We must do something. You had better get a cat. Hadn't you?" "I've got a cat, but what good is it?" And Praskovya pointed to the corner, where a white kitten, thin as a match, lay curled up asleep beside a broom. "Why is it no good?" asked Pyotr Demyanych. "It's young yet and foolish. It's not 2 months old yet." Then it must be trained. It had much better be learning instead of lying there. Saying this, Pyotr Demyanych sighed with a careworn air and went out of the kitchen. The kitten raised its head, looked lazily after him, and shut his eyes again. The kitten lay awake thinking. Of what? Unacquainted with real life, having no store of accumulated impressions, his mental processes could only be instinctive, and he could but picture life in accordance with the conceptions he had inherited, together with his flesh and blood, from his ancestors, the tigers, as Darwin would say. His thoughts were in the nature of daydreams. His feline imagination pictured something like the Arabian desert, over which flitted shadows closely resembling Praskovya, the stove, the broom. In the midst of the shadows there suddenly appeared a saucer of milk. The saucer began to grow paws. It began moving and displayed a tendency to run. The kitten made a bound, and with a thrill of bloodthirsty sensuality, thrust his claws into it. When the saucer had vanished into obscurity, a piece of meat appeared, dropped by Praskovya. The meat ran away with a cowardly squeak, but the kitten made a bound and got his claws into it. Everything that rose before the imagination of the young dreamer had for its starting point leaps, claws, and teeth. The soul of another is darkness, and a cat's soul more than most. But how near the visions just described are to the truth may be seen from the following fact. Under the influence of his daydreams, the kitten suddenly leaped up, looked with flashing eyes at Praskovya, ruffled up his coat, and making one bound, thrust his claws into the cook's skirt. Obviously, he was a born mouse catcher, a worthy son of his bloodthirsty ancestors. Fate had destined him to be the terror of cellars, storerooms, and corn bins, and had it not been for education, we will not anticipate, however. On his way home from high school, Pyotr Demyanych went into a general shop and bought a mousetrap for 15 kopecks. At dinner, he fixed a little bit of his rissoli on the hook and set the trap under the sofa, where there were heaps of the pupils' old exercise books, which Praskovya used for various domestic purposes. At 6 o'clock in the evening, when the worthy Latin master was sitting at the table correcting his pupils' exercises, there was a sudden clop, so loud that my uncle started and dropped his pen. He went at once to the sofa and took out the trap. A neat little mouse, the size of a thimble, was sniffing the wires and trembling with fear. "Aha!" muttered Pyotr Demyanych, and he looked at the mouse malignantly, as though he were about to give him a bad mark. "You are caught, wretch! Wait a bit, I'll teach you to eat my grammar." Having gloated over his victim, Pyotr Demyanych put the mousetrap on the floor and called, "Praskovya, there's a mouse caught. Bring the kitten here." "I'm coming," responded Praskovya, and a minute later she came in, with a descendant of tigers in her arms. "Capital," said Pyotr Demyanych, rubbing his hands. We will give him a lesson. Put him down opposite the mousetrap. That's it. Let him sniff at it and look at it. That's it. The kitten looked worryingly at my uncle, at his armchair, sniffed the mousetrap in bewilderment, then, frightened probably by the glaring lamplight and the attention directed to him, made a dash and ran in terror to the door. "Stop!" shouted my uncle, seizing him by the tail. "Stop, you rascal! He's afraid of a mouse, the idiot! Look, it's a mouse! Look! Well, look, I tell you!" Pyotr Demyanych took the mouse by the scruff of the neck and pushed him with his nose against the mousetrap. "Look, you carrion! Take him and hold him, Praskovya. Hold him opposite the door of the trap. When I let the mouse out, you let him go instantly. Do you hear? Instantly. Let go. Now!" My uncle assumed the mysterious expression and lifted the door of the trap. The mouse came out irresolutely, sniffed the air, and flew like an arrow under the sofa. The kitten, on being released, darted under the table with his tail in the air. "It has got away! Got away!" cried Pyotr Demyanych, looking furious. "Where is he, the scoundrel? Under the table? You wait!" My uncle dragged the kitten from under the table and shook him in the air. "Wretched little beast," he muttered, smacking him on the ear. "Take that! Take that! Will you shirk next time, wretch?" Next day, Praskovya heard again the summons. "Praskovya, there's a mouse caught! Bring the kitten here!" After the outrage of the previous day, the kitten had taken refuge under the stove and had not come out all night. When Praskovya pulled him out and, carrying him by the scruff of the neck into the study, set him down before the mousetrap, he trembled all over and mewed piteously. "Come, let him feel at home first," Pyotr Demyanych commanded. "Let him look and sniff, look and learn." "Stop, plague take you," he shouted, noticing that the kitten was backing away from the mousetrap. "I'll thrash you. Hold him by the ear. That's it. Well, now, set him down before the trap." My uncle slowly lifted the door of the trap. The mouse whisked under the very nose of the kitten, flung itself against Praskovya's hand, and fled under the cupboard. The kitten, feeling himself free, took a desperate bound and retreated under the sofa. "He's let another mouse go," bawled Pyotr Demyanych. "Do you call that a cat? Nasty little beast, thrash him! Thrash him by the mousetrap!" When the third mouse had been caught, the kitten shivered all over at the sight of the mousetrap and its inmate, and scratched Praskovya's hand. After the fourth mouse, my uncle flew into a rage, kicked the kitten, and said, "Take the nasty thing away. Get rid of it. Chuck it away. It's no earthly use." A year passed. The thin, frail kitten had turned into a solid and sagacious tomcat. One day he was on his way to the backyards to an amatory interview. He had just reached his destination when he suddenly heard a rustle, and thereupon caught sight of a mouse, which ran from a water trough towards a stable. My hero's hair stood on end. He arched his back, hissed, and trembling all over, took to ignominious flight. Alas! Sometimes I feel in the ludicrous position of the flying cat. Like the kitten, I had in my day the honor of being taught Latin by my uncle. Now, whenever I chance to see some work of classic antiquity, instead of being moved to eager enthusiasm, I begin recalling it. Ut consecutivum, the irregular verbs, the sallow gray face of my uncle, the ablative absolute. I turn pale, my hair stands up on my head, and, like the cat, I take to ignominious flight. This is a Cloud Mountain production. Copyright 2009. Read by Alan Davis Drake.